I want to talk to you about the gospel. What is the gospel? Importantly, sometimes the word gospel is misunderstood solely to mean that of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But in fact, that is the heart of the gospel. But is it the entire gospel? I think the gospel is actually much more than that in scope. People often will make a mistake about that, and they will try to define the term gospel meaning only this is only what it is and nothing else. However, if you look at the first four books of the New Testament, you see the term the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John. Now, it was interesting to me that those books in particular were named the Gospel of and not just the Book of Mark or the Book of Matthew. You see, essentially, what these books do, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John does is tell the story of Jesus Christ. If you open up your book and you begin to read it, you read about the lineage of Jesus Christ. If you're looking at Matthew chapter 1, you're going through there. Chapter 2, you go through the birth of Jesus Christ. And 3, you go through John the Baptist coming on the scene, preaching the gospel of the good news of the kingdom of God that's coming. And then you go on into the wilderness of Jesus being tempted, and then go into the Sermon on the Mount. And then you got Jesus going to teach and to begin his ministry with his apostles, and beginning of these parables and teaching of these things, and getting a hold of the scribes and Pharisees and really rubbing those people the wrong way. And then they take him and they crucify him, and he raised up to walk on the third day. You know, I mean, that's what those stories tell, those books tell. And so whenever you look at the Gospel of Matthew, it's telling the story of Jesus, which in tell tells the story of his death on the cross, of his resurrection. So yeah, that's the heart of the gospel. But it preaches good news. You know, the gospel essentially means good news, as we'll see in a moment. Jesus would say in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill." Jesus did not come to destroy the law. You see, Jesus came and he lived under the law. He was under this old law. Colossians 2:14, he would say, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Now, the question is, what is or what was the handwriting of ordinances that was against us? And as we look and we see it, and he talks about how he nailed it to the cross, and we realize by a thorough study of the Gospels and through the other New Testament books that he's talking about the old law. He took this old law, the old law of Moses, and he nailed it to the cross. By doing so, he ushered in his New Testament will, and he says, "For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of a testator." Jesus died in order to usher in this new law, this new will. And so whenever we're talking about gospel, we're talking about this new will of Christ. Jesus had to die in order to bring that into effect. You see, in Hebrews 10:28, he says, "He that despised Moses' law," there it is again, Moses' law, "died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." There it is again. He that was despise, or he that despised the law of Moses, but we're not under that law of Moses. Of how much sore punishment will it be under this new law if you despise this new law? And all the whole point here is that there is a new law that's not that old law anymore. So it brings the question is, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is, some people will say, well, the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is. Paul would tell the Corinthian, the church at Corinth there, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What does he declare? The gospel, which I preached unto you. Now that's key there. He preached the gospel unto the church at Corinth, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if, he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And so this gospel that he preached to the church at Corinth, he said, by which you're saved if you keep it in memory. And that draws really where we're going at today, as you hit on this morning, about how many new doctrines have been brought into the world. You see, back in the day, you had this idea, and I mean like really back in the day, back in the time of Jesus, while they were still under the Old Testament law, back in that day, okay? You had the guys going around preaching, and they weren't necessarily preaching. It was really radical stuff whenever John the Baptist came on the scene and saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It was some radical thing. This was something new that they were hearing. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to talk and he begins to preach. And he said, you've heard it said this way in the law of Moses, but I say it's like this. And they were astonished at his teachings. This was something new. But the problem is as we usher on into the new age, if you will, people begin to say, well, I want something new preached. If we could have something new preached, well, how do we come up with something new? This was what we were given, this New Testament. That was what we were given to preach. So what do we come up with that's new to preach on? Let's come up with a new doctrine. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of places, a lot of churches that feel that way. About maybe this is an outdated book that it doesn't really fit in with today's crowd. And if I would have had the quote to put there with Mr. Olstein, he said that he was going to have to rebuke the apostles for their stances on sin. And then he went so far and so boldly as to say that he would have to rebuke Jesus for his stance. And that ain't going to happen. People want a new something to hear. They're bored about the cross of Christ whenever it's preached. They hear about Jesus being crucified for their sin and that obedience to the gospel will usher in salvation for you. And people get bored by it. And they say, what else can we hear? What else can save us? He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture. The very heart of the gospel Paul has delivered to the church at Corinth. And he said, I want you to keep this in memory. Always remember this. Never depart from it. Keep it in memory. We commemorated that this morning by the emblem that we partook of. Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Well, Strong's goes on to define the gospel as a good message Thayer's would go a little bit more into detail. He would say a reward for good tidings. Good tidings, the glad tidings of salvation through Christ. That's the good news. Here it is in a nutshell. Guess what? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're in trouble because the penalty for sin is death, but good news. You don't have to take on that punishment. You don't have to die that death. Because Jesus, as John would describe him in his gospel, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. If we would just be obedient to the gospel, come in contact with the blood of the Lamb, then we don't have to have that penalty. The good news of salvation through Christ. That's great news. This was something that they didn't have in the Old Testament. This was something new that they preached. They went about preaching this, and it just set the whole world on fire, so much so that we're still talking about it today. So who can preach the gospel? The question is asked, who can preach it? Someone says, men? Can men preach it? Well, yes, we know men can preach the gospel. We see that from Acts chapter 2, where you got a man and Peter and the other apostles as they preached the gospel to the people on the day of Pentecost. So yeah, that's right. We can preach the gospel. Women, you say, well, can a woman preach the gospel? Someone says, now hold on, Jason. Now, women can't preach the gospel, but is that so that women can't preach the gospel? I mean, if we open up the book, we can find restrictions that would restrict a woman from teaching in the assembly of the church. But what about at home? To her son? What about to her husband that maybe not is a believer, or to her neighbor? What restricts a woman from teaching the gospel to someone outside the assembly? Is there anything? What about children? You know, we got a lot of young folks in here who I know have obeyed the gospel. Is there any rules or laws that we can find through the scripture that would restrict a child from teaching the gospel to, let's say, their friends at school? You know, that disappoints me now that we're talking about children and preaching to their friends at school, because I went to church, or I didn't go to church, but I went to school with a lot of kids that went to church at the Church of Christ. And you know, not one of them invited me to church ever in my whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not one of them. I never got invited to church. Not one of them ever asked me about salvation, if I was scared about what was going to happen whenever I died. But you know, we shouldn't take those things for granted. As a young kid, as a boy, we have opportunities with our friends that others may not. It's important. Who does Matthew chapter 28 belong to then? Is it just men? He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Who is going forth and teaching? Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What are they going forth to teach? They're going forth to teach the good news of salvation through Christ. Here we have a woman preaching with her husband, Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18, verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Here's an example. This wasn't an assembly type setting. This was outside the assembly, and they come across this fella. He's preaching, but he's not preaching according to the truth. And they take unto him and expound to him the word of God more perfectly. Again, noticing the words they, and noticing that it includes his wife. There's been times where me and Lori have sat down with someone and Lori has tried to explain scripture to someone before who was far from the truth. Yes, women can preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, the gospel began to spread throughout all those regions around about Jerusalem because of the persecution that had come upon Jerusalem. It says in Acts 8, verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now here's what's happening. This great persecution has taken a hold of the church. We know the story of Saul. Saul was out to make havoc of the church. He wanted to end the church and this Christian movement. He wanted to stop that. He believed in the old law. He didn't like this new stuff that was being taught. And so as he's going out to eradicate this new movement that's happening, what he's actually doing is he's helping to spread this movement all over the world. But this is what I really want y'all to grab a hold of here, is that they all went throughout the regions of Judea except the apostles. The apostles stayed behind. And look at what he says in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, that wasn't the apostles, they stayed behind, went everywhere preaching the word. I only use that to make a point because some people say, well, only people that are credentialed can preach the gospel. What were these people's credentials that went everywhere preaching the gospel? They had just barely learned about the good news of Jesus Christ. They had just barely heard it. And they went everywhere telling everyone they know, this is what you need to do. Coincidentally, whenever I became a Christian, no one ever told me, you got to be qualified to go tell other people about the gospel. So I began to tell other people about the gospel, everyone that I came across about the gospel. I tell you, you get met with some harsh reaction sometimes. You get met with some interesting reaction sometimes. Sometimes you get met with some good reactions. People that want to obey it, tell me more about it. The problem is some people will say, oh, you can't go and do that anymore, Jason. You can't just tell people this. You got to lure them into it a little bit. You can't just hit them with everything you have. I don't know. I don't know if that was the correct approach, but if I look at what these people did, I wonder how they did it. You see, they're going about in a pagan world. They're going about in this old world of Old Testament law, and they're going about and they're preaching this new doctrine to everyone. Hey, did you hear about this Jesus Christ fella? He was hung on the cross. He died for our sins, but God rose him up from the grave because it was not possible that he should be holden of the grave. And so God raised him up from the dead, and guess what? Because of his shed blood on the cross, we through him can have a hope of a home in heaven if we would just be obedient to the gospel. Isn't that essentially what the Ethiopian eunuch did whenever Philip came and met to the chariot? Jesus would say, but when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. That's what they did. They were persecuted, they fled. Where can the gospel be preached? Everywhere. The gospel can be preached at churches. The gospel can be preached at homes. It can be preached at housetops, on housetops rather, and on desert places. It can be preached anywhere. It can be preached at the coffee shop, at the gas station, at college. Now, some folks who are in college still, if I could give you a little advice about preaching the gospel at college, okay, It didn't work out so well for me. You see, as we were in class, speech class, we had to give speeches. And I thought, well, this is getting down to about the last speech that we could have for the semester. This is going to be the last one. This is my last opportunity. All these people are here. They got to hear it. Plus, I've been doing argument, counter-argument with this one fella all year long on our speeches. And so I say, this is my chance. I'm going to preach the gospel to him. And as I began preaching about the baptism that we should be baptized with, pretty soon you see the teacher who's out there grading me, set his pen down and his paper down, and he gets up and he walks out. And as soon as he got up and walked out, this student got up and walked out. And before you know it, the whole room was empty. It doesn't work out so well sometimes. Don't let it stop you from trying, you know. If you got the opportunity, take it. But it doesn't always work out just because you preach it everywhere. We look at, there are several examples of the gospel being preached in churches. We saw one already from the church at Corinth. But in the church at Rome, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. He's talking to the church at Rome, and he's coming to preach the gospel to them. Why preach the gospel to them? Because they needed to be established in it, even though they knew it. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 2, he says, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, what did they do to the churches? They preached the gospel to the churches. They kept preaching the gospel to the churches. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, he says, let him be accursed. Don't let there be any new doctrine come in. Don't try to look for a new doctrine. If there is a new doctrine, let him be accursed that preaches this new doctrine. Keep preaching the doctrine of Christ and don't seek for the world's doctrine. To the church at Asia Minor, 2 Peter 1, verse number 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What were they? They already knew the doctrine. They had already heard the gospel preached. But Peter said, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this present, to stir you up by putting you in the remembrance of these things, though you already know them, though you're already established in them. I'm going to keep telling you that because I don't want you to forget it. Because Paul was going to warn the churches that grievous wolves were going to enter in. They weren't going to spare the flock. They were going to try to bring in these new doctrines. Paul warned the churches, don't get away from the doctrine of Christ. What about at homes? Yes, you can preach at homes. Acts 20:20, he says, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Well, what were they teaching publicly and house to house? They were teaching people about Jesus, about salvation through him, and they were continuing everywhere they went, publicly and in house to house. Peter and them were put in prison for it. Paul was put in prison for it. But they kept preaching. On housetops, during the limited commission, Jesus sent them out. And during the limited commission, he says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the air, that preach ye upon the housetops. Go preach it everywhere. That's all I can get from it. Go preach it everywhere. Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel wherever you are and never stray from the doctrine of Christ. Never look for some new world doctrine that people with itching ears want to hear. Isn't that what he said? after my departure, shall wolves enter in among you? And the people with itching ears will raise up teachers there. What about desert places? Well, this is the eunuch that we spoke of earlier. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We don't know everything that he preached unto him. We know that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah the prophet, and he said, who is he speaking of? Is he speaking of himself? Is he speaking of somebody else? Who's he talking about? And Philip came up into the chariot with him, and he began to preach unto him Jesus, beginning at that same scripture. Whatever it was that he preached unto him, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, well, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me? Well, we know what the gospel entails because Paul's already outlined it. And here it is again through the eunuch. So, who benefits from preaching the gospel? Who benefits from it? The kingdom of God benefits from it because as we go forth and we preach the gospel and we try to reach people who have never obeyed the gospel, it says, and the praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Whenever we go forth and we preach the gospel, we sow that seed. Some of it won't be received. Sometimes people are going to get up and leave. Sometimes someone's going to hear it and they're going to say, tell me more. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Everyone benefits from preaching the gospel. Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, this is the problem with wanting a different doctrine preached, a new something preached, because there's nothing else given under heaven whereby we can be saved. That is on Christ Jesus. If we began to preach something else, is that something else going to be able to save us? No. Why are we preaching something else then? Will it save other people who hear it? No. The only thing that can save people is the gospel of Christ. And that's why we preach it. That's why we must continue to preach it. That's why we have to teach it to our kids and to our grandkids. That's why we got to take it to our neighbors. That's why we got to proclaim it upon the housetops. That's why we got to take it with us everywhere we go. Everyone benefits from it. There's a danger in not preaching the gospel. You see, Paul charges Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away, and they shall be turned unto fables. They shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The scary thing about preaching other doctrines, about trying to grab something new to preach about, to get away from the gospel of Christ or the doctrine of Christ, is eventually we will err from the truth. That's what Paul said is going to happen. Listen, this is what's going to happen. If you ever quit preaching, why was it that Peter wanted to stir them up and put them in remembrance, though they already knew those things, though they were already established in them? Because if they ever got away from that, they would err from the truth. They would get away from the truth. They would be turned into fables. The same thing happens to us today whenever we start trying to preach worldly doctrines. We have a danger of losing our first love. Yeah, we can have the appearance of a church. We can have a place where people go and worship and gather. We can even come together and sing songs of praise unto God. We can even get up and preach just like a church. But if we're not preaching about Christ and about His sacrifice, we stand in danger, just like the church here in Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent." We must not quit preaching the gospel of Christ. Here he says in 2 John 1:9, he says, "Whosoever transgress and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God." And you see, whenever we quit preaching Christ and the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, we move away from God. We're no longer preaching a godly doctrine. We don't have God no more whenever we quit preaching about His Son. "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And that's why we must continue to preach the gospel of Christ. So as we conclude today, we should never be negligent to the gospel. We shouldn't. It is God's way to provide salvation to everyone who hears it, who believes it, and obeys it. Whenever I heard the gospel preached for the first time, I heard it preached in church. You see, I had never been invited to a church prior to moving to Pampa and Ian saying, "Hey, you want to come to church with me?" Never heard it. Then Sean preached the gospel. What if I had gone to the meeting that night and Sean didn't preach the gospel? What if he had come up with something else to preach? I would have never obeyed the gospel because I wouldn't have known what the gospel was. What if he would have gave me something that tickled my ears and I came in there worried about what might be preached, and then I left there saying, "That wasn't so bad. I thought they were going to convict me of everything I've been doing. Boy, they didn't touch on any of that. I'm going to keep going there." Isn't that really what happens? The gospel is the very heart of Christianity. What would we be without the gospel? I guess we'd be maybe a social club. Here's what Paul said about that. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me, if I preach not the gospel. Woe is us if we quit preaching the gospel. Lastly, the last scripture here, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. You see, Jesus is coming back one day to have vengeance on the world. Well, look at what he says. He says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So the question is laid upon you this afternoon is, have you obeyed the gospel? Because one day Jesus is coming back. And He's coming back to claim His own, but you don't belong to Him if you've never been baptized into His death and His burial and His resurrection to be raised to walk in newness of life. Are you ready to meet Him whenever He comes?